doing. You earn more when you become more. We got to read. Mm-hmm.
It's very inspiring and a good message to send to the audience.
You say, how you doing today? No, I mean really, how you doing today?
We were like great friends, but...
Well, first of all, I'm always excited.
See a vision for... You know, wherever we want to go.
Wrap it up. That's a whole nother podcast.
Well, I got to say, if it's a piece of man, he ain't my...
No, but sometimes, you don't know.
I'm done. And I'm not waiting.
Get started. I like to go out to my girl.
I'm kind of a jump-in kind of person. Piece of what? No. What? PSO. Whatever you say.
I don't think I'm going to ever get tired of listening to that intro. And just to hear how someone can be so crafty and take unique conversations and put them all together and have me laughing as if I wasn't there. It's crazy amazing. Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is your girl, T with Clutch. And I'm joined tonight by my friend, my partner, the lovely, you're not Vanna White, though, so who are you?
C to the, no, I'm just kidding. It's Corinne.
How you doing tonight, C?
Corinne.
So one week it was C, a.k.a. Corinne. Let's get it straight. Which one is it?
I can be C, a.k.a. Corinne.
Okay.
All right.
Spicy. See, you're making me call. That's I'm doing something. I don't have any business. You know, one time I remember, right, I was at church, and this was like over 15 years ago. And not that it's been 15 years since I've been to church, but this story that I'm getting ready to tell is about 15 years old. So I was standing up near the pulpit or something like that, and someone came up behind me, and I said, and was one of the ministers, and she said, you ain't living right. I said, I'm not living right. What you mean? I was like, I was saying to myself, did she know I was out last night partying? She was saying because I was so uneasy and I jumped, that means that I guess you're doing something, you don't have no business or something like that. Anyway, I never heard that before, and I've never forgot it. So that's just food for thought. Keep that in mind. So, C, are you ready to get started tonight?
I am. I have a feeling that this is going to be a wonderful show.
Absolutely. Tonight we're talking about dating horror stories. And there's several reasons that we wanted to do this show tonight. And one of the main and most important reasons is that with social media, for example, and dating sites, the usage has increased. Over 337 million people worldwide using dating apps. And that means, guess what? A lot of people find love and a lot of people not. But think about that. An increased usage of over 337 million, I'm pretty sure this has spiked up since COVID, and it's just really continued. And also, statistics show that 40% of Americans dating someone they met on a dating app like Tinder and other sites like that, with 29.6% actually got engaged and married. So people are definitely meeting online and having long-term relationships. Now, I know some people that's not really into the online thing. Like, they just kind of really want to meet someone organically, et cetera. What's your thoughts, C, in reference to meeting people online, not online, and the people that you know, kind of what's their dating preference and how they meet people?
I did date someone that I met on a dating app. Well, I wouldn't say dating. I would say we hooked up, but we didn't really date. I mean, they wanted to date me after the fact, but they wanted to date me when I wasn't eligible to be dated, so that was weird. But, I mean, I think that it's a gamble. So I did go out only with two people. Yeah, two people that I met on a dating site. And I'm still friends with both of them, actually. And they turned out to be cool people. But there was, like, I met other people off of a dating site, but they were, like, really weird, so I never actually met up with them. So I think it could be a good thing. If, I mean, it also could be a scary thing because you never know if the representative is going to come or if, even if the person that's in the picture is going to come.
That's true. So your preference is what? So do you have a preference when it comes to you prefer to meet organically through friends or through happenstance or through dating apps?
I mean, I wouldn't do necessarily do dating apps anymore because I feel like a lot of those sites like that you mentioned, like Tinder or OkCupid, people go there looking for someone to hook up with. And that was the issue because a lot of people are like, hey, so what are you doing tonight? I'm like, not you. So,
because you know that's what they're looking for.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I'm like old school. Like, I'm the type, like, we have to have conversations. Like, I got to fill you out to see if I even want to, like, go out and date with you. But I prefer to meet people organically, like, you know, in the streets, you know, just not even a friend, because I feel like friends hook you up with who they, like, they're like, oh, Bill is free, you're free, y'all probably click it off. And it's like, Bill's a weirdo, and you only know Bill because you've seen him a couple of times, and y'all go out drinking once in a while. So you know the fun Bill, but you don't know the Bill that is in a relationship, and Bill in a relationship can be completely different than your friend Bill.
Makes sense. You know, one of the reasons, you know, I'm looking forward to this topic tonight in reference to dating horror stories is not really to laugh at a horror story, because horror means that someone was scared or something happened that it didn't make someone happy. But in reality is sometimes people are just not aware of certain things that happen and go on when it comes to, you know, the dating field. And as we close out later in the show, we'll talk about some tips and things to be aware of if you are single or if you're married and you're on the scene as far as dating, because you got to be more careful. So as we get into it tonight, I wanted to share a few dating horror stories, just something kind of interesting from dating that is not my personal experience, not anyone that I know, but something that I found in research. And I kind of want to get your thoughts and see, what's your thoughts about this? And it may not be hard. It may just be something that went wrong or somebody that kind of didn't give all the information. But one of the first ones is called The Unpleasant Surprise. One woman went on a date with a guy she met online. He seemed great in their messages. But when they met in person, he was significantly older than his profile picture and had lied about his age. It was awkward and uncomfortable to start the date. Can you imagine that, C?
Listen, we would have a problem with if I go out there and I'm like, "Are you my? You look like you went to high school with my daddy." Like, we would have a problem.
But you know what? What do you think? Like, sometimes people do this. I met a guy one time a long time ago, and he was telling me some dating horror stories. And he had met a girl that he thought, you know, she's sexy, she bad, and blah blah blah. And when he went to her house, it was a picture of her daughter that she was sending him. So he saw the daughter actually come up, like come in the house and go upstairs when he was there. But how, I mean, what is somebody expecting to happen? Like you meet someone and you send them the wrong picture. I mean, what are they expecting to happen?
That's like an episode of Catfish that I've seen where the girl was sending her niece's picture and the niece didn't know. Until I guess the show came out and she had to confess that she was sending the niece's picture. But it's like, yeah, like you said, what do you expect to happen? I think that when people do that, maybe not in the case that you just said, but like when a catfish does that, I feel like they do it not thinking that, A, that you're ever going to meet, or thinking that, B, you'll fall so much in love or less with them that you'll overlook the fact that they're a totally different person.
But the thing is, I think most people, when you're talking and you're building with someone, you're falling in love with who you think they are. So I just don't understand, like, how that makes sense.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, but that's like kind of makes sense by a logical person. Because I just think people think that they'll woo you over with everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's just really, hey, but in reality, people are doing it. So, all right, so another one, just got a couple because I thought they were really, really interesting. One is called The Food Thief. A woman shared a story of a date where her partner ate most of her meal without asking and then ordered dessert for himself. When she confronted him about it, he claimed it was a test to see if she would share. Needless to say, there was no second date. Come on now. You meet a guy, and y'all order food, and he's eating your food.
Now, I want to know what he ordered, because it sounds like, and then who paid, because it sounds like this man was trying to get two for one.
But you know what? I hear so many men these days, they are kind of apprehensive about dating on these dating sites. And I think one of the guys were on the show a few weeks ago talking about that. But I've actually met females, and their hobby is getting on dating sites, especially high-end sites, and going on as many free dates as they can, you know, to get a meal, because that's kind of like their hustle. They want meal and drink. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I think it's kind of unfair to the guy. Well, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a hustle. It definitely is. And, you know, we shared about this website, which I won't give them any, you know, promo, but there's a few of them out there now. But there are websites where you can go and can be matched by fellow daters, and they will, you know, basically link you together, and they're basically bidding to go on a date with you. So, for example, if you choose to go on a date with someone, they may offer you $100, but it's an understanding that it's just a date. It's not a hookup. Now, if you choose a hookup, that's on you. But the understanding of the platform is that you're paying for this person to go on a date with you, and it's, you know, it's an understanding that, you know, you'll work out your combinations and how you want to do it and where you want to go. But once they agree on the website, like, I'm going to pay $100 to go on a date with you, then that's what you're expected to get at the end of the night. And then you'll get your free meal, because obviously if they're bidding to go on a date with you, they know that they have to, you know, wine and dine you that day. So, I mean, that's definitely a hustle. Now, going on a regular date and thinking that, okay, I'm going to get a free meal. Now, you might go there thinking you're going to get a free meal, but you're really going Dutch with the guy. So, I mean, that's a gamble. I don't deal with gambles. I much rather go to the, I know I'm getting my money and my free meal at the end of the night for just the whole thing of it.
But, you know, that it's not a secret, though. Like, that's what you signed up for, and that's what they signed up for. So if anyone is interested in that link, hit us up when you listen to the podcast, and she may share. Okay.
So all right, the overly DM.
Exactly. Get in her DM. You know you like it. Stop tripping. So the overly possessive date, right? Another woman talked about a date who, within minutes of meeting her, became extremely possessive and jealous. He constantly checked her phone and even followed her to the restroom to make sure she wasn't talking to other men. This behavior made her feel trapped and uncomfortable. And she stayed on this date? Like, make that make sense.
Because she couldn't escape. He followed her to the restroom.
That's crazy. Yo, I guess my first thing would be, like, when you met this person, like, how long had you met them before you met them in person? You know, like, were you talking on the phone, were you FaceTiming, and did they seem like they were possessive then? You know how sometimes we see red flags, but what do? We ignore until it's too damn late.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a situation, C, to where, like, in dating, you saw some red flags and then you just kind of ignored it?
I've been divorced twice. Remember, I'm a two-time loser, so.
Oh, forgot. But did you see red flags, though?
You know, I can say, honestly, when I look back with my, at least with my first husband, there's red flags everywhere. and I just was like, whatever, and just went about my life, because I think that sometimes you're like, well, that's their problem, or maybe, you know, you just think you're tripping, but then, you know, you rewind stuff. What did they say? Things are different in hindsight. So it's like when you rewind the tapes in your mind, you're like, wait, that definitely was a red flag, and maybe if I was paying attention, I wouldn't have, you know, ignored it. But, yeah, I mean, I think we even give out red flags, you know, sometimes and don't realize it. So I think sometimes people give people the benefit of the doubt, and they give them the benefit of too much doubt.
I agree. Yeah, I know that, you know, we have to really be careful, and sometimes you have an instinct about something, but, you know, we ignore it, or you're not really sure, you're not sure if you're paranoid. So that's definitely valuable, but we just have to still be keen, because, again, sometimes making mistakes can cost you your life, and that's definitely worse than a horror story. All right, the ghoster. Just got a couple more I want to read. I thought this was just real cute as far as horror stories. All right, the ghoster. Many people have experienced the ghosting phenomenon, where someone they were dating suddenly stops all communication without explanation. One woman shared how she had been on several great dates with a guy, but he vanished without a trace, leaving her wondering what went wrong. Let's talk about this for a second. Have you ever ghosted anyone? Have you ever been ghosted? And can you imagine how someone would feel being ghosted?
I think yes to both. I feel like my record, I probably have ghosted a lot of people, because I remember at one point, before there was a block button, I used to just say people under do not answer. And I had about do not answer 75, do not answer 64. So, I'm good at ghosting people. But I feel like when you're dating people that it really shouldn't be like you're locked in to someone. So it's like the second they give you, like you said, a red flag, I feel like running. So it's like, or they say something weird, or I'm good for being polite and then blocking the person. Well, now blocking them. So, yeah, I'm good for ghosting somebody, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't feel good, but it's like, I guess they got to rewind the tape in their mind and see where they messed up at and why they would get ghosted. And sometimes I even warn people. I'm like, I didn't appreciate what you said, and they will say something different. I'm like, okay, you're right. This is probably going to be the last time we talk, though. And then I will block them.
That's so hurtful, though. See, like, I think, like, I had a friend one time, right? She met this guy. I guess this might have been a decade ago, because I don't think they were on video. I don't think they were on FaceTime, but I think she might have seen him on Skype or something. But anyway, long story short, she met a guy. I think she met him through Craigslist. Can't really remember. And they talked, like, all week. She lived in North Carolina, and he lived, like, in Virginia. But I guess he lived kind of, like, 2 or 3 hours from wherever she lived in North Carolina. So they talked all week, all day and all night. You know how when you're younger, you meet somebody and you're in love in 2 days, right? All day, all night, all you can do all day and all night, talk on the phone. And she couldn't wait till the weekend when she was off work to go and see him. And they were, like I said, they were on Skype a couple of times, so he did see her and she saw him and blah, blah, blah. So she called me saying, girl, I'm going to go to so-and-so Virginia, going to meet him. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm like, are you sure? You don't really know him and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, we've been talking all week. I'm comfortable with him. And because I'm saying to myself, you don't even know what he told you. Like, you don't really know him. Well, meet him in a private, meet him in a public location, not private, public. And she was like, oh, I'm going to his house. So anyway, I think she met him at a gas station and followed him home. She called me the next day on her way back saying she met him. They had an incredible time. She spent the night. She had sex with him. It was so amazing. And she was just in love. And said she was going to call him as soon as she got home and got settled. No call from him. She called him. Like, she texted him, and she called him. No answer. No answer, no call. And he ghosted her. She was distraught. I was distraught. Because I'm like, damn. She's trying to figure out, like, what happened. And she was like, well, yeah, I'm a big girl, but you know, like we was on Skype. Like he seen me. He know I'm a big girl. And I'm just saying to myself, like, men ain't turning out sex to me. So I'm assuming, I don't really know. I'm like, okay, maybe he really wasn't into her, but the fact she was willing to come all that way and fucking suck like she told him she was going to do, what man is turning that down? But in reality, he knew it wasn't going to be nothing after that date. What's your thoughts about that?
So that's different. So I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have hooked up. But it sounded like he just wanted to hook up with her, and that's what it sounded like. Maybe he hooked up with her and didn't enjoy it and then was like, okay, or maybe that was his intention all the time, was to hook up with her and then not call her. And
that's
you know, that's wrong. That's not cool. I mean, you know,
you
sometimes
don't think
that's what they're saying.
Well, I guess my thing is, like, this woman drove, like, 3 hours to your house. Y'all kicked and she spent the night. She didn't just have sex. Like, y'all talk all week, all day, and all night. So there was no type of way he could have said, look, let's just be cool or it ain't like it is. I mean, anyway, and I know this has happened to many people, but I think if you go someone, like, if I meet a guy today and I say I'm on call and I call one time and I don't call anymore or whatever, because I have people saving my phone, too, black, dash, don't answer. Annoying, ugly, broke, like, don't answer. Don't. I got whatever the message is, and then I got don't answer. But that's somebody who I don't know. I met you one time. We talked. I ain't like the vibe. You seem crazy. You seem like a stalker. And I was ending it. But I'm saying a weekend, like that's a week all the way in, like that's just, to me, I think people need closure. And when you go someone, especially someone you've been building with, It takes the opportunity for them to get closure. I mean, would you agree?
No, I do agree. But then it's like, do you think that everybody deserves that energy, though? So if I just met you and I just went out with you a couple of times, what type of closure do you need? Like, it'd be different if we were in a relationship. Like, okay, I think it's wrong where I've heard, actually, there was a reality show called Ghosted. And those people that were on the show, they had been in relationships. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll send it to you. These people had been in relationships
before.
For a while, and then the person just ghosted them. So it's like that I get. But those type of things, like if you're in a relationship with someone and you've been dating them for months and months and months and, or years, and then all of a sudden they just decide one day they don't want to date you anymore and they just ghost you, like, yes, that's messed up. But if somebody that you are maybe just, like, talking to, and when I say talking to, I mean, like, you might have went out with them a handful of times, or you might just had conversation with them on the phone. You might have met them initially and then exchanged numbers, and then you tried to see if you wanted to build with them, and you have conversation with them on the phone, and you decided, nah, I'm really not into it. Like, I feel like that type of person, you don't necessarily need to explain anything because y'all was just trying to see if y'all liked each other or you only went out with them a couple of times. So those people, no, not necessarily. But if I've been talking to you every day or we've been, you know, kicking it for months at a time or even a year, and then I just decided not to call you one day and just block you for for what you seem, because everyone has a reason why they do things. So for mm-hmm. your end, it might be like, oh, why did that happen? And you're, like, you know, so broken about it, then, yeah, that would, to me, would be wrong. But if I'm just trying to build with you and see if I like you, yeah, you might get ghosted if you do something, because it's called dating.
I guess I just, well, you know what, I'm going to stop at that one because I don't like it, but I'm sure I did it. I know closure is good, especially if you talk to someone more than once, but you know, it is what it is. I guess we should just all be careful. And if you don't hear from someone and you think you are a prize, just say, well, it's their loss, and just keep it freaking moving. But in reference to dating horror stories, oh, man, I got a couple of stories I wanted to personally talk about, and I wanted to hear if you had any as well. The first one is a recent story. This is not my story. It's actually a story of a girl that I know of through a friend of mine. All right, so what a friend of mine was telling me, as a matter of fact, yesterday, she said, man, I called my girlfriend. She recently moved to Atlanta, Georgia from, I think, Cherokee, North Carolina, or something like that. She is an attorney, and she's like 30 years old, and she's new in Atlanta. She's been in Atlanta about a year. And, you know, I said, my gosh, this is so sad. And not just because this is Atlanta. It's like, you know how being a woman and you go to a city and you grab somebody, but what you don't know is you're meeting the town's worst person to meet. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you don't know their rep. You're not from that city, that area. So she's dating this guy. They've been together, I guess, off and on almost a year. And he's one of the biggest damn dogs and hoes in Atlanta. Like, literally. And, again, she's an attorney. She got a lot of different stuff going. She's a real, real beautiful girl. Got a lot happening. And she got caught up with the wrong guy. And she said when she called her yesterday, she said, for privacy purposes, I'm going to say Kay. So she said, hey, Kay, what's up? What you doing? She said, oh, I'm going to look for an apartment. And she said, look for an apartment? Girl, you and your boyfriend just moved into a $500,000 house together. 1 month ago. It ain't even been 1 month. She said, and the girl Kay was just like in tears crying. And she said, he can have the house. I don't want anything to do with him. He's a horrible person. He's a horrible father. Like, I don't know why I keep taking him back. All those other times I caught him with women. I bust his tires. Like, it's just a toxic relationship, toxic situation. So she was like, I just can't do it anymore. So, and she said, and to add insult to injury, she said he had left some pills out. And she was trying to figure out what the pills were. So she saw, like, the name or something on the back of it, and she Googled it, and it's a prescription for herpes. Yeah, you heard me. So she was like, now I got to go get tested, and I'm pretty sure that he gave me herpes. And she was like, then the girls are calling my phone. They're sending me videos of him having sex with him. And she's like, I'm not even from here. I can't even, like, she's having a damn breakdown. This was yesterday. And the girl that I know called and was telling me, like, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't know what to do. She said, you used to live in Atlanta. You got any resources? And I was telling her some different things that I knew, you know, about Atlanta or whatever. And I said, I'm going to pray for her because I'm feeling for her. She's, like, 30 years old. She's in a place where she's not from. She has this job at this law firm, so she can't just up and leave. She got caught up with this guy. She just fell in love with him. And he's just not a good guy, and he's jeopardizing her health. Like, oh, my God, like, this is crazy. And I told her, I said, I'll think of some stuff. I said, I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for her dude because this is a bad situation. Like, this is what we've talked about, see, like, on our podcast about the importance of having your tribe because you shouldn't go through stuff like that by yourself. And just imagine a young professional female in a city where she's not even from, don't really have any friends. Time she came to the city, she met this vulture. And he's the devil. You understand what I'm saying? And this was yesterday. This is yesterday around 6 or 7 o'clock, right? And so today I talked to my friend. I said, hey, I've been thinking about your friend. Like, I went to bed with it on my heart last night, blah, blah, blah. And this weekend we're going to figure some stuff out and kind of give her some support. She said, oh, don't bother. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, oh, she's back with him and she's happy and they hung out today and blah, blah, blah. I said, with the herpes and all? She said she love him. Now I'm gonna stop talking and let you take all that in.
It sounds like she's at a point where she's like, "Well, I already got something. I can't really just be willy nilly dating someone else," and that's which is sad, because that's what it kind of sounds like. You know what I mean, like. It's easier for her to stay with him because she don't caught something that she has to explain to the next person.
You know what? First of all, and age ain't nothing but a number. I definitely agree. But some people who don't have the best intentions at heart, like this guy is like 45, 36, and she's 30. A lot of times older guys prey on younger women because they feel like they're naive and they don't really know and they don't really understand certain things. And that pisses me off because my thing is some of these same men, they have daughters. How the hell would you feel somebody praying on your damn daughter like you praying on somebody younger? You know what I'm saying? And we reap what we sow in life. Like, we got to realize and recognize that when we go out doing people wrong and we're intentionally doing people wrong, you're going to get that back. Because karma's a bitch. And that just really just pisses me off. But that's her, that's Kay's story. But there's so many other people in the world that's like Kay. And how sad is that?
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that she did get that, but there's other people that they've been given worse things, like HIV or AIDS.
Yep. And I'm praying, like, and I don't really know her, but I pray to God that she doesn't have anything else. And I'm just praying for her. I'm praying for her because she's in a situation where if this guy keeps doing what he's doing, it's going to be a problem. Like, you know, thinking about dating horror stories, well, I have a couple more that I do want to share. And I have a ton of them, actually. I have someone that is related to me that has, she wasn't dating. She's married. She married a guy. Married a guy and in 4 years. And this will probably be in her book one day when it comes out. I went to visit her one weekend. This was a long time ago. This was probably 16 years ago. I went and visited her for the weekend, and I just wondered why her house, you know, she was one place, her husband was one place. I didn't really know why, you know, it was like it was. But she married a man. Well, let me back up. She was a virgin when she got married. Wholesome Christian girl. Very wonderful, beautiful person. Met a guy at church. Met one of the ministers on the deacon board. Or one of the ministers on the ministerial board or whatever. So, of course, no sex before marriage because, you know, he's in the ministry. She's a Christian. She's a Christian and she's a virgin. So they got married and they had sex on the wedding night. She got pregnant the very first time they had sex. In 4 years, they had sex 4 times. He really wasn't into it. I mean, that's how she explains the story. One day he got sick and she rushed to the hospital. And I'll never forget the call when it came in. He was HIV positive, full-blown AIDS. You heard me. You heard me. And this is not somebody dating. This is her husband. He had it when she married mm-hmm. him. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, they only had sex 4 times in 4 years, and she does not have it. Thank God. Thank God. But you see what I'm saying? And what reality was, he was a down low brother. They only had sex 4 times. He really wouldn't, he didn't want a woman. He married a woman for prestige because he was on the ministerial team. He wanted a man. And I'm not going to bash anyone in their sexual preferences, but my issue is when you are a liar and when you're deceiving someone and you're out having sex and know what you got, even if you don't know, go get tested if you're being promiscuous. Right. And this was her husband. This wasn't even dating. I mean, and I can go on and on. I'm not trying to depress anyone. But my point is we have to be careful. I know we've all heard about the Craigslist killer. Have you heard about that, Corinne, like back in the day? Is that even
mm-hmm.
true? Is that
like,
is that our whole story?
Off the Craigslist.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's differentiate. I'm not on Craigslist meeting people. I post ads on Craigslist for networking purposes. I'm not on there
okay,
talking about.
Okay, those network people.
What happened?
I said okay, but those networking people can try to kill us through the phone or give our computer a virus.
But you know what?
These
that's,
people you
that's so. That is so hypocritical of you. That is so hypocritical. How did I meet you again?
Craigslist.
Huh? What?
Listen, you should have left Craigslist
after
you
met me. I met her from Craigslist too. Huh?
Well, listen, you got lucky.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna hit Angel. We got to do a podcast on Craigslist friends because I met both of you guys, and I met her like 16 years ago. They can be good. That happens to anything, even though sometimes it's bad. But as far as the Craigslist killer, Philip Haynes Markoff, February the 12th, 1986 to August 15th, 2010, was an American medical student who was charged with armed robbery and murder of Jaleesa Brisman in Boston. In a Boston hotel on April 14th, 2009, and two armed robberies. Markov maintained his innocence on all charges and pleaded not guilty at his arraignment. A grand jury indicted Markov for first-degree murder, armed robbery, and other charges. On April 15, 2010, Markov died by suicide in Boston's Nashua Street Jail, where he was awaiting trial. Markov was one of several criminals described by media outlets as the Craigslist killer, because the killer was alleged to have met his victims through ads on the internet site. Two of his alleged victims were offering erotic services on Craigslist. And he was 24 when he died, a medical student.
Is that crazy or what?
Yeah.
That is really crazy. And you know what? I don't know why people do some of the shit they do. And my thing is just go kill yourself. That's what I don't understand. Like, they go out and they kill themselves in the end. Why the hell you didn't just kill yourself in the beginning and leave these other folks alone? But these dating, come on, Corinne. I know you got at least one dating horror story you're going to share.
I do, actually. And I was trying to think about how I was going to say it because I want to protect the person that is about. Actually, yeah, I do want to protect them. So I'm going to figure out how to say this because it's someone actually you know. It's someone that is related to me, so but I want to be respectful to them because they're no longer with us.
Okay.
So I was in the store with my family member, and this weirdo, this is when I had to be about, I want to say about 18, 19. And I was actually just visiting where I'm from, which is Philly. So I was just visiting. And this weirdo guy in the store was trying to talk to me. And I'm like, I'm not interested. And I'm like, he's just weird. So, and me and my family member, they're off somewhere else. She was off, you know, doing whatever she was doing, you know, because we're shopping. And so I'm off, you know, in a different aisle and I'm shopping. So he was trying to talk to me and I said, no, I'm not interested. No, thank you. So then he went over to my family member and he starts talking to her. And then I see her, like, you know, smiling and stuff, and she gives him her number. So I was like, you didn't think that that guy was a little weird? And she was like, no, he seemed okay. And she was like, but I gave him my number. I said, well, that weirdo just tried to talk to me. And he literally just walked to the next aisle over and talked to you. Now, me and my family member, we don't look alike, so it's not like he can say. I don't even think, well, I don't think we favor each other. So it's not like, you know, he could tell that we were related, but it was like he was just going down the aisle to aisle and just whoever's going to talk to him. So fast forward. Yeah, whoever wanted to be a victim. So fast forward a couple months later, and she's like, oh, I'm dating that guy. And I'm like, you're dating the weird guy from the store? And she's like, yeah, he is a little weird. So now she's like, yeah, he's a little weird or whatever. And so she, at the time, she was a virgin or whatever, so she wasn't giving him any. So she was like that one day she fell asleep on the sofa, and his head was, like, in her underneath her shirt or whatever. Like, he was, like, groping her. So she was telling me about that, and I was like, okay, I told you the boy was weird. So my family member, they had a medical condition to where as though they had a concentrated amount of drugs. So basically they had something that would come from, a medicine pack, you could say. And it would the medicine would like inject into their system. So it was a liquid like medicine. So it's very concentrated and usually because they have chronic pain, so the medicine gets directly into their bloodline. So keep that in mind. So they don't take pills or anything, but it's like their medicine is literally it's like a cart. And it goes literally into their veins. It's a, I think they call it like an intro vein type of thing. So she goes, I think he, at this point, they're like full-fledged in a relationship or whatever. I don't know if she was in the bathroom or if she fell asleep. But, I think she was in the bathroom. So she was in another room. And she comes back, and he's like on her sofa,
and he's like spread out, like he looked like he's dead. What this fool did was he decided he wanted to get high off of my family member's medicine and wind up taking her medicine. So she calls 911. And so they come or whatever, and, like, he basically at one point he was dead. So they take him on that thing because at this point I really don't care what happened to this man, right? But, I mean, God forgive me, I really don't. But so they take him, whatever, and they think that he's dead. And this is inside of Philly. So they're my family member lives, like, on the third floor. So they go to take him or whatever, and they drop him down the steps a few times. And they're like, well, and they're talking crap about him because they think he's dead. He's still alive, but he can hear them, but he's really, like, not there. So they drop him a few times down the steps or whatever. I don't know at what point they realized that he was really actually still with them, but I don't know if he went to the hospital. That part I'm not sure exactly when they were able to revive him. But he had the nerve to call my family member a couple of days later and was like, why did you throw me in the alley and left me for dead? Like, how could you do that to me? And my family member was like, first of all, you took my medicine and almost killed yourself. And she was like, I can't even pick you up. So why would you think that I picked you up and threw you in the alleyway? So he actually had the nerve to actually, after he OD'd off of her medicine, to actually call her to curse her out. But after that, obviously, they broke up.
I mean, that makes sense.
None of it made sense. And I told her, I was like, he was crazy to begin with. I told you that the 2 minutes that he talked to me in the store.
I mean, and then like I'm getting tongue tied. Did she come back to you then and say, oh, yeah, you told me? I mean.
Yeah, she was like, damn, you were right. She was like, yeah, probably shouldn't have talked to him. And I was like, you think? Like, to me, when I looked at him, it gave crazy. Like, his eyes were crazy. Like, I look at your eyes. Like, if you've got the crazy eyes, like, he has the crazy eyes. So I was telling her, I'm like, you gave that crazy boy your number? She's like, well, he seemed nice and da-da-da, and, you know, why not? And I'm like, I could tell you 1,000 reasons why not, but that's what wound up happening was he was apparently an addict, and he apparently didn't care what he got high off of because that would be the very last thing. Like, if someone has, like, taken somebody's chemo medicine, when you don't have cancer, and you're just like, I'm just going to get high off of this chemo medicine real quick.
That's crazy to me, though. That ain't crazy. I mean, what the hell?
It's all the way crazy. I mean, like I said, again, she took a concentrated medicine that goes in your veins. So I don't know how this boy injected it. I don't even know how he thought to do that. But to me, at that point, you really have a problem because you're trying to get high off of anything that you can get high off of. And I feel like he might have hung around with her because he was trying to figure out how he was going to get high off of whatever she was on. And maybe he didn't realize that, oh, she don't have pills? Okay, well, this is what she gets. This is what she takes? Okay, I'm gonna get high off of that. And I'm like, she's not taking it to get high. She's taking it because that's one way she survives.
Yeah,
so
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah,
at any time now, I should close my mouth because you just really
It didn't happen to me. I was somewhat involved, but it didn't happen to me. I avoided the craziness.
Man, oh, girl, this man died and came back, like.
Mm-hmm. And then had the nerve to thinking my cousin threw him in the alley. So then I was like, did he wake up in the alley? But he left me an ambulance.
You could have
your
way. You probably would put him in the alley.
I mean, no, first of all, that's a grown man. I'm not throwing him down the steps. But, I would have did the same thing she did. I would have called 911 and let them take him and whatever. And then I would have been pissed off because you just took some of my medicine that I actually need.
That I actually need.
Yeah, who knows where that man is now. He's probably staying out somewhere if he's still alive.
He's somewhere else getting somebody else medicine.
If he's still alive, because apparently he takes anything.
Exactly, because sometimes, you know, and I know we've heard of so many stories and people are talking about the movie on Netflix is trending called, I think, Opioids or whatever that movie is. But, I guess that's the thing. Like, if somebody's high, they'll do anything to get high.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's crazy. Damn, that's girl. Well, in reference to my horror story, all right, so I got two horror stories I want to tell about, and then I want to talk about tips to what you can do if you're dating in the dating lane, the dating scene, so you can be more careful. Two stories. And this is my personal story. And I'm not even ashamed to tell it because it was a long time ago for one. And for two, people crazy. Number one, and this is a long time ago too. This is like over 20 years ago. I was living in South Carolina, and I was driving to work. I live in one city, and I had to drive 45 minutes to my job. And I did that for about a year and a half before I moved to that city. On the way to work one morning, and you know how we are, I looked to the side, and I seen this guy, this light-skinned guy, in a black Lexus, looking good, and he in a Lexus. I'm like, oh, shit. So he was, like, waving. I'm waving. You know how you driving along the highway, and you meet somebody, y'all kind of start becoming friends on the highway, right? So he said, pull over. So I ended up pulling over to this gas station. He got out. We switched. I gave my number at work. I don't think I had a cell phone. I don't know. Was it a cell phone? I don't know. I don't know how long cell phones been out. But anyway, this was in 1997 or 8. So I think it was 1997. So I don't know if cell phones was around then. No, 1997. All right, so anyway, I went to work, and about an hour later, somebody called. Like, hello, miss, and how you doing? I'm like, oh, hey. And he's like, what you doing for lunch? I'm like, nothing. So anyway, I met him for lunch, and I was like, damn, he's fine. Oh, my gosh. And I said, oh, I'm moving to this city. I was moving to Florence, South Carolina, and I was moving, like, within a month. He was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be on when you come. We can hang out. I'm like, hell, yeah. I was saying to myself, man, I'm moving to a new city. I already found somebody. We're going to be hooking up, and blah, blah. I had it all played out in my mind, right? Okay, cool. So, okay, anyway. All right, so anyway, I moved to Florence. We start hanging out, and the thing is, you know how real quick, you ever met somebody, and you like them, and y'all cool, but it's a friend zone. Like, you know, you don't want them. Mm-hmm. Even though you think they're sexy, it's not really attraction for that. Does that kind of make sense?
No, it makes sense. I've done all right. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've done plenty, because I think you've told me plenty of stories like that. Well, I want to establish that, because what I'm going to say next. So, again, when I met him, I thought he was sexy and blah, blah, blah. But when we started kicking it, we were just, like, laughing together. I ended up liking him more from a friend. And I don't think I had a vibe or anything like that. But it just really was more of a friendship thing. But, you know, it was cool. So he came to my place. He was coming every day. My guy word was laughing. I had my girlfriends coming to visit me from my hometown. And, honey, he hit a couple of them. And I'm like, huh? Like, they would come and, like, hang out, spend the night, stuff like that. And at the end of the night, he would go in their room. And he didn't know, like, a different girl was coming to visit me every week. And I told him about the last girl. But guess what? They ain't care. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, two things about him, because the story is too long. Anyway, he told me his name was something Rod Rodriguez. And he had this Lexus. After a couple of weeks, I started trying to figure, and he said he always carried around this big old thing with checks in it, like a businessman. And he, you know, when I met him, he had on his, like, a black T-shirt and some purple
Shore said he was a cute dog. I'm like, oh, shit, cute dog, okay. So I was just like, I need to investigate this. You know, I'm a private investigator too, right? It just didn't make sense. And then I just didn't know, and he was at my house all the time, and I was feeling a little funny and blah, blah, blah. So make a long story short, I ended up finding out that wasn't his name. I ended up finding his name. I ended up finding his grandmother that lived in another city about 2 hours away. I ended up calling her one day, kind of fishing around, and her thing was, honey, stay away from him. He bad news. I'm like, huh? And I ended up finding out that he was living with some girl. Grandma. Grandma was not an OG. Grandma says, stay away. He's bad news. And then at the apartment I lived in at the time, it had tile floors, and I wanted to get carpet. He had gave me a quote for $3,000 for carpet, and he had brought me an itemized thing of everything he was going to do. I found out that he had somebody else make it up, and, you know, because he was planning on, you know, I guess getting me to give him $3,000 for this, and I guess he would pay them for, you know, doing a little mock-up of, you know, or whatever they were supposed to be doing. So he was just nothing but a fraud. As I dug more into the investigation, after he kind of disappeared, like, he didn't ghost me. He said he was going out of town or something like that. And that's when I knew I had time to do my investigation. So when I did that, I end up finding out his name, the girl that he was living with. I end up going to her house, talking to her. She kind of explained to me, like, this is not his house, this is my house. She said she met him like a year before at like the gas station, and he had said that he was with the basketball team. He was with the basketball team. Like, he was an overseas player. You know, I guess those players, they play in other countries, and he's like 6'4". So she believed it. Exactly. So he told her that he was a basketball player in another country, and well, he was from here, but he played overseas, and he got injured. So when she met him, he had just got injured. And he ended up coming to our house, staying a couple of nights. And you know the deal. He brought a toothbrush, and he never left. And she was like, I'm trying to get him out of my house and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, huh? What? So then one day I'm driving down the street, and I don't know what I was looking for, but I passed this shop where you get your car fixed. And do you know that I saw a black Lexus that looked like his? I'm like, that was just like, I don't know. I think he had a certain type of sign on his Lexus, because there's more than one black Lexus out there. So anyway, I'm still an investigator. So I go to the place, and I said, I'm interested in this black Lexus over here. And the guy said, well, if the people don't pay by so-and-so date, then I'm going to sell it. I said, huh? Girl, do you know that he had that black Lexus for about a year? And somebody in the other town where his grandma lived had rented that for him, and he just left town with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Last two parts of this same story. He was in another city. We were in Florence, South Carolina, and he ended up meeting a girl like in Lamar, like Lamar, Darlington County, something like that. So he had called me. He said, hey, homegirl, I got me a new girl. I just want you to meet her, da-da-da. So I guess we did have phones at the time. So he called me on the phone. I was saying hey to the older lady that he was talking to. Because remember, he real fine now, like real, real, real fine. So I was saying hi to her, blah, 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 blah. And he called, you know what, I don't think we have cell phones. I can't remember. We got to figure out when cell phones came on the scene. Or maybe it was like we had cell phones, but it wasn't like unlimited or something like that. But anyway, he called me from this girl's house. And I said hi to her. And I was saying to myself, oh, my God. Another victim, because what he was doing, the girl that he was staying with named Kendra in Florence, she was getting tired of him, and she was trying to figure out how to get rid of him. So I think he was building to set up camp somewhere else because he knew his days were numbered at that house. Does that kind of make sense, right? All right, so anyway, I talked to him and the girl. We kind of went back and forth. I told her, you know, good luck, whatever. And then about 2 or 3 days later, I found out three things, and it alarmed me greatly. Number one, I ran into a neighbor across the street, and I know this is a long story, but bear with me for a minute, because this is something that really just this devastated me. Like literally, this shit. I ran into a neighbor that lived across the street from me,
And he said, damn, T, I thought me and you was cool. I'm like, huh? We are cool. He said, we ain't that damn cool. Shit, you won't even let me come to the damn crib. You get that nigga a key? I said, get that nigga a key. Because I was from another town about almost an hour away. And every other weekend, I would go home to my mom and daddy house, even though I had my own apartment in that city, Florence, right? And he told me that when the weekends I go home, this dude was at my apartment all weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know how he did that? He did that because there was one time I was at work, and he called me and said, what you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm at work. He said, you getting off when? I said, about 3 hours. He said, well, I'm over in your area. I'm about to come out and get your key. And I wasn't really comfortable with it, but you know how sometimes a person kind of fast talk you, and then you kind of do something without really thinking. You know what I'm saying? So next thing I know, he was at my job getting my key. And then when he called me, we did have cell phones, because he called me when he was in the car, saying, and he was at McDonald's at the drive-thru. And we was chit-chatting, and I was like, shit, okay, he at McDonald's right now. You know what? I'm going to leave work early. So as soon as he hung up saying he just got to my house, about 15 minutes later, I was just getting out of work early because I just was not comfortable with him, you know, being at my house. So I said that to say, when I walked in the door, my key was laying on the coffee table. So I play back when this dude told me that he made a key. I said, you know what? When I got in my house that day, he had a McDonald's cup sitting on the table, but I didn't see no food. So I said to myself, you know what? He had been at McDonald's early that day. And he knew when I came home, I would see the cup. But in reality, when he called me, he wasn't at McDonald's. He was at a hardware store making a copy of the key to my house because he knew I wasn't from that city. And he knew I went home every other weekend. On Fridays, I would leave my home in the morning, get off for work at 5, and go straight to my parents' house. I felt so violated. Like, I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't even believe it. And then when the girl Kendra told me about the fake paperwork she did for him, and she said she didn't want to do it. It's like he kind of made her do it. And she was kind of weak-minded and stuff like that. Anyway, what I did is, and I'm going to wrap this part of the story up. This is Brown Sugar, recent. Rehu. Who is Re? All right, this guy hit me on Facebook. I'm like, I don't know. All right, but anyway, I called back to the number of the lady he called me from. Oh, hold on. The girl he was living with in Florence called Kendra. When me and her started talking, right, and I asked her, I said, well, why one time when I was over this house and he came home, you and your twin girl just went upstairs? Like, you need, like, is this your house? Because he said it was his house. I'm like, so why did you just go upstairs? Like, and she said, that's because he had told me that you were a lesbian and he don't want anybody looking at his woman. I'm like, damn,
oh, wow.
He good. You know, you feel like he set the precedence from the beginning because he knew I was over at his house. And when she came home, and it was her house, he set the precedence. So time she came in, her and her twin daughters went straight upstairs and never came down, probably until I left. And I thought that was so weird. Like, she said, hey, and flew upstairs. But because he had already warned her, he said I was a lesbian. And I guess maybe people scared of lesbians, so she took her ass upstairs. So anyway, the new victim that
he had over,
oh yeah, but me and him sitting there chilling though. She probably called him on her way home, and he probably said, "Oh, you know that girl over here? You know I told you she's a lesbian. I don't want her looking at you, so go straight upstairs."
That's
I guess
crazy.
Is what he told me. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to write a book about his ass. So. Remember the girl in Darlington County, the older lady, all right? So I said, you know what? Fuck this shit. He done broken my damn house. Man, I'm about to call this damn lady and let her know, like, what's up with him. So I called, and I said, hey, this is he. I spoke to you the other day with Rod. And she's like, yes. I said, listen, I don't know you, and you don't know me. But woman to woman, he bad news. And you need to be careful. Like, whatever you do, she said, listen, just because he don't want you, don't be calling me, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he told me you were called trying to turn me against him. I said, damn, he good.
Damn, he good. And I said, well, I said, like I said, you don't know me. And I said, because of the recent things that I found out that he did, I just felt compelled to call and try to tell you. And all I got to say is I just wish you the best, ma'am. Be careful. Like, I mean, and you know the thing is, see, like a lot of times sometimes women are so catty and so hateful. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't believe somebody because people just, they jealous, they hating. And so I guess you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I don't know. Like, if somebody call and warn you, of course, I mean, even if you don't believe them, would you kind of not, like, say, you know what, I don't believe them, but let me check it out? I mean, I don't know. Would you?
I mean, I guess it depends on, so if a guy that you are dating tells you a story, and you don't really, you know the guy to be a liar, then yes, you'll want to do your homework. But sometimes girls, they might be so magnetized by the guy to where as though he can tell her that the sky is yellow. And they're like, well, it does kind of look yellow, you know what I mean, knowing damn well it looks all the way blue. But, I mean, if the guy has a gift for gab, like I guess this guy, it's like they'll set up a scenario to where as though it's so believable that it's like, oh, okay, I can see why that person may not questioned it. Or they may be like, well, he never lied before, and not knowing that the whole thing that he told you was nothing but a lie.
I guess my thing is, like I said, when I called her, she wasn't trying to hear that, and I respect it. But my conscience was clear. Because I did it, and she didn't know me, but I did it out of just true, genuine concern because I wish somebody would have warned me. You understand what I'm saying? So I said all that to say the very next day, not even 24 hours later, my phone rang, and it was her. She said, hey, T, and she was hollering and screaming. You know what? What's her real name? Right, this is a sidebar. Somebody hit me on Facebook and said, hey, how you been in the family? This brown sugar, Ree's son. I say, Ree who? I mean, am I supposed to know?
Maybe it's somebody you ghosted.
Oh, yeah, let me block him. Oh yeah, I know who he is. All right, so she called me, right? I said, "Oh my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Even though she talked shit to me the day before, I'm like, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Now hold up, I got another sidebar. This is scary. I think I got to talk to a psychic. Let me tell you, this is scary. The kid that's hit me up, I know exactly who this kid is now. Corinne, listen. Last night, I was just thinking about different people I hadn't talked to or seen in a while, and my mind fell. Ooh, that's crazy. My mind fell on this lady I used to be real cool with back in South Carolina in my grandma's house, and she had like 6 kids, and I just love their kids. And I was like, I wonder how they doing, because I hadn't talked to them over 10 years. And one of her sons, this is who, because he's like brown sugar. I'm like, brown, oh, damn, brown sugar? And this is a big fat black. Like, brown sugar? Who the hell is a brown sugar? But I know that's one of the boys. And, I mean, is that not crazy? Why is this kid hitting me up when they followed my mind last night? And I ain't talked to him over 10
that's
years.
That's how that is. You thought him
really?
Up. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the lady, right? So she called, right? And I said, okay, calm down. What's wrong? She said, my room. When I was talking to her and Rod, when he called, he was saying how nice her house was because she's an older lady, and I think somebody had died, she came to a lot of money, whatever, and she had a room in her house that was her antique room, like family heirlooms and stuff. Like, he was just saying she just really had you know, a nice house and nice stuff and stuff like that. And I was like, yep, a victim that he can get something from. So she told me that he had told her that morning when she got ready to go to work, and he's like, babe, can I borrow your car today because I need to do X, Y, and Z, blah, blah. You know, the baby boy shit he want to drop off at work. And she's like, yeah, okay, you know, of course. So he dropped her off at work. And when she got out, like let's say she worked 8:30 to 4:30. So 4:30, anyway, he talking to her on the phone during the day. I'm doing good, babe. I'm hanging out. I'm doing this. I'm getting some business handled. Thank you for letting me use your car, blah, blah, blah. So after 2:30, they don't talk anymore because she's going to see him at 4:30, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
Yeah.
4:30 come, and he don't show up. <sighs> 5 o'clock come, and he don't show up. She's pissed. She's calling him, trying to get him to answer. She ended up having to get a friend to take her home because she don't have her car. She get home, and guess what? The antique room is open, and she keeps that door locked and keep the key, like, hidden wherever. He robbed her and left town with her car. About a month later, he got caught in Lake City, South Carolina, and he got caught because, I don't know, I think they stopped the car. And, honey, why he had a 17-year-old girl in the car with him, so he ended up getting locked up for, like, statutory rape. Because the girl that he had in the car, the family had put out an Amber Alert on her. So not only did he have a stolen car, but, you know, he had a minor in the car with him. He did about a year in prison, county jail, and got out because his grandma had money, the same grandma that wouldn't, that was hating on him or telling his business. But anyway, I could go on and on and on. But there's another story, but I'll tell that another time. My point is, we just got to be careful. And this was back, like I said, in 1997 or 98 or something around, like the late 90s, not before 2000. So we got to just be careful because a lot of times we meet people, and like I said, he told me his name was Rodriguez. His name was really Danny. and people be up in your face and in your space, and they don't even be who they say they are. And people violate. You know what I'm saying? Him having the girl that he was living with, Kendra, to create a bill, an invoice for $3,000 because he acted like he was going to put carpet in my house because he was trying to scam me out of money. You know what I'm saying? And I also found out he had been to prison before for, like, check fraud. But guess what? He evidently couldn't get enough of it because his ass still was having them damn checks when I met him. You know what I'm saying? But the thing also that I want people to hear about this particular story is I felt violated. Like, somebody who I met that I liked, I felt so violated that he was in my house on weekends when I wasn't even there. He was in my house. I don't know what he was doing in my house. I have no idea. But I felt so, so, so violated. And I said, you know what? Never again. And that was my first time moving out on my own. And I know a lot of times when we move out and get our own place, we're happy and we're excited, but you still got to be careful because you just never know. Any comments or thoughts about that, Steve?
Listen, he sound like a whole scary mess. Like, yeah. I don't think I dated anyone that was scamming like that, but you never know, to be honest. I think the craziest thing that I found out about a guy that I was dating, actually he was my boyfriend, that he had he wasn't living with her. He had a pregnant baby mama. And I didn't know that until he wound up getting arrested and he begged me to come to his court date. So I did, and he invited us both. And at this time, I had already talked to his lawyer and all this other stuff and had several conversations with his lawyer. And so when I seen the girl talking to his lawyer, I'm just stupid me, because I'm 19 at the time. Like you said, I had just moved out myself and got my own place. So I went to this court or whatever, and so I seen the girl talking to the lawyer. So I'm like, I go and just shake the girl's hand, like, oh, hi, I'm Corinne, all bubbly and whatever. And like, oh, you must, like, are you his cousin or aunt? Or, and she was like, and she just looked at my hand and was like, I'm his girlfriend. And I'm like, oh. And she was like, that she was his girlfriend too. And I mean, she was like, and you're supposed to be his girlfriend for how long? And I was like, I think at that time, yeah, it was 6 months. So I was like, 6 months? She was like, 2 years? And I was like, oh, okay. 2 years and a baby on the way. So I actually confronted him about it. He was like, he said I was crazy. And I was like, well, why would you invite us both to your court date? He was like, you're always busy, because I was. This is the time when I was in modeling, so I was always going on auditions, or I was at my agency, and I think I was taking classes. So I was either in class, I was doing stuff through my agency, I worked two jobs, so I was always busy, but I made sure to take the time to do what I say I'm going to do. So I told him, I said I was going to be there, so that should have gave you a clue. He's like, but you're always busy. And I'm like, so you thought because I was always busy to then invite her, but then why would you invite me? So I'm like, you wanted to get caught. Then he had the nerve to, he would have my roommate, which at the time was my godson's mom, he would have her call other girls while I was at work. So I'm paying for collect calls so he can call the girls. And then he thought, I don't know what he thought, but he would tell my roommate to, oh, can you put down the phone so I can talk to my aunt, cousin, whoever it was he lied and said he was talking to, in private. So she was like, sure, I'll put down the phone. So, of course, you know, that's my friend. So she's listening. And she was like, you know, would come back and was like, you know, he was talking to this girl and da-da-da. So that would confront him, and he'd be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I, you know, was doing all these things for him to help him get out, because I'm not a spiteful person. So I helped him along the way, whatever. He gets out of jail. And then I remember he didn't call me the first day he got out of jail. He called me the second day. So he wound up calling me, and I was like, oh, I'm coming down. So he was like, huh? So, because he still thought he was going to come up to my apartment. So, I didn't tell him about, because I found out he was cheating on me with a couple other girls. So, I don't say anything to him about it or whatever, because those two girls wind up coming to one of his court dates with his shirt on, on top of that. And he's a man, a big man. Well, not, he wasn't, like, big or fat or anything, but he's a man. So, they looked crazy wearing his shirt. And I'm like, who is he messing with? Which one of y'all is he messing with? But I didn't care because I, at the time, I was a very mature 19. So when he came to my apartment the second day that he got out of jail, I met him on my porch. And he was like, so he went to go give me a kiss. I said, uh-uh. And I was like, you can't kiss me? He was like, wait, what? I said, we don't go together anymore. He was like, what you mean? I said, I'm breaking up with you. I was like, you've been cheating on me this whole time and think I'm still going to date you? And he was like, how did you find out? When did you find out? And I was like, when did I find out? I was like, I found out maybe because he had been locked up for like 3 months. I found out with everything within the first 30 days. And so he was like, but why did you continue to help me? I said, because your freedom in our relationship doesn't have to do, they're not one and the same. I said, but I wish you good luck in life. And I broke up with him then and there.
You know what? Some people got a lot of damn nerve.
He was so surprised that I helped him. And then he kept, like, after that, like, we were cordial. He would call me, but we were definitely, like, nothing was, you know, popping off. But he was just like, I'm so surprised. Like, you still help me. And I'm like, you're different, and I messed up. And he was like, my mama be asking about you. And I'm like, your mama can't even speak English. She ain't asking about me.
Oh, my God. Girl, that is crazy. All right, so listen, you know, I enjoy this because
you know, it's good that sometimes things that make you laugh and the same thing that make you cry. And, oh, that's a song, haha. But it's good to be able to laugh about these things. People have to be careful. So as we close out tonight, see, let's talk about some tips and some different things that if you're out there, if you're out there having a hot girl summer, well, summer's kind of almost over. But if you're out there dating and looking to meet some different people, please be careful. So as we close out, let's just give a few tips and different things that people should be aware of, you know, if you're out dating, so you won't have a dating horror story. First and foremost, trust your instincts. Sometimes you have this gut feeling and it's telling you something. And there's been a lot of times in life we've ignored it. Well, don't ignore it. Trust your instincts. If something feels off, something feels wrong, it's not right, I just can't put my finger on it, sometimes it's just best to just turn away. Because you might not know what it is, but it may be something. You agree, C?
Definitely.
Absolutely. All right, so a few other things is, let's say you're meeting somebody, whether you're meeting them on the app, you're meeting them through somebody else, meet them in public. You know, don't be like, and you know, the thing about meeting in public is sometimes people want to meet you in public and then they say, oh, now let's go to my house. Let the first few dates be in public. And I know I've heard friends say, look, if somebody come pick me up, I'm going to get his ID and send you a picture of it or his license plate. Well, guess what? Take an Uber. Well, I don't know if Uber much better these days. Well, regardless, I mean, I was going to say, instead of meeting them there, just take Uber. But shit, Uber is Uber tripping too. Uber horror stories. We'll be talking about that during the horror story series. But also, if you're out and about, inform a friend. Let someone know that where you are. Like, I mean, I understand we grown and you don't have to tell nobody anything, but let's be cautious and let's be careful. Video chat. Make sure you see them on video. Just because, so you don't have to get there and say he was 20 years older than his picture. You're going to see him in real time. And I can go on and on and on, but again, you got to be careful. If you're a single person, protect yourself. Like, I'm notorious for using the post office box. Like, don't give everybody an address. You got to protect yourself. Because sometimes people will try to find out, like, everything about you. If you're not from, like, okay, Corinne, oh, you're in L.A. now? Oh, you don't have any family here? People sizing you up. They sizing you up, and then you're going to be a victim. So you got to make sure that you protect yourself, protect your information, even if you just give somebody a first name until, you know, until they can get your full name, whatever it is. And Lord have mercy, if you're going out and about, like especially to a bar, don't be drinking and leave it and go to the bathroom. Who the hell does that? Don't do that. Like, literally. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on, but any things that come to your mind, Corinne, that you want to share with everyone of what to do to kind of be safe, protect yourself, to prevent having a dating horror story?
I know one of my friends, she used to date some guys off of, I think she got them from an app, I want to say, and she was getting back in the dating market. So I used to have her on the Family Locator app. So I always knew mm-hmm. where she was, and I used to, like, I need the phone number before you take my friend out, like, to her dates, because I didn't, and I used to meet her dates before she went out with them, so they know that, okay, somebody's waiting for her to come home, somebody got her location. Like, I was, like, really protective over her, because she was dating these people she randomly met. She wound up dating one guy that wound up robbing me, actually. And he was sleeping in our storage room, that was like outside of our apartment. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. He had just got out of
jail. That's a whole nother situation.
He had just got out of jail, and he was washing his clothes in our apartment. Well, she was washing his clothes in our apartment, and I seen the little white trash bag, and I said, I seen a sticker on the little white trash bag. I said, did he just get out of jail? She's like, how did you know? And I'm like, the trash bag says it all. I definitely don't have random people in your house, like you mentioned before. definitely, like, if you're, like, you know, have somebody, share your location with somebody, and make sure that, like you said, video chat with them so you see who you're actually meeting, and have conversations, because I've noticed when I was single that people, they will send you a couple of texts, and then they say, hey, what are you doing tonight? And it's like, sir, I don't even know your voice. Like, no, we're not doing that. Like, I need to see if I even like to have a conversation with you in person. Like, let's see if we gel. So I've done it to a few people, and I'm like, you can't call me and we can't have a couple conversations for me to fill you out, then I'm not going out on a date with you.
Makes sense. And was that before or after you ghosted him?
Oh, no, it definitely was before I ghosted them.
you know, I had to get that in there, like literally.
But the funny thing I wish I would have had time to share this story, because I went out with a guy who actually I met him in real life because he worked at my same job as me. And I was like, oh, he's cute, you know, whatever. Like, I was there when he started working there. I used to always hang out with these two people in my job, one being a girl, one being a guy, and he was, like, my best guy friend at the time. And so he asked my guy friend, I was like, hey, are you dating her? And he was like, no, that's my friend. So he was like, you know that guy? So my friend comes, and he was like, you know that guy that you said was cute? And he was like, yeah, he wants to talk to you. So I was like, oh, you could give him my number. We go out, and we hang out or whatever. But it was, like, he was so boring, but I let him know where I live because I felt comfortable. I'm like, we work together, like, you know, he seemed cool. So I let him, you know where I lived or whatever. And plus I lived downstairs from, like, my godson's family. So they lived upstairs and I lived downstairs. So he comes to my house and then I'm like, hey, he's boring. There's no conversation. Like, this is not going to go anywhere. I said, let me give him a kiss to see if there's any chemistry. Maybe there's some sexual chemistry. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
After I kissed him, I said, this is not going to work. And he said, huh? I said, this is not going to work. I'm like, he was just attractive. Like, that was all. He was attractive, and that was it. So I'm like, we don't have good conversation. Like, there's no sexual chemistry. There's really nothing here other than I could just look at you because you look good. But, I mean, I'm not that shallow. So he got offended by it. And then he wound up calling me a gazillion times. Then he wound up, I told him I wasn't interested. Then he wound up coming to my house at, like, 2:00, 2:30 in the morning. My ex-boyfriend, which is funny, my ex-boyfriend lived upstairs, so he let him in and was like, your friend's outside. I'm like, this is not my friend. And then he was like, oh, I've been calling you. So I looked at my phone because at the time I used to work in the morning. So I looked at the phone and I seen that the boy had called me like 30 times and my phone was on vibrate when I went to go to sleep. So I would have my phone on, but I wouldn't hear it because I didn't want people to wake me up when I was sleeping. So I'm like, okay. He was like, I called you, but you didn't answer. And I'm like, well, what does that tell you? That means that I'm not answering the phone for a reason. So I guess he didn't deal with rejection well because I sent him home. Like, as soon as I'm like, you need to leave. Like, I didn't answer the phone for a reason. So he was like, but I took a cab here. I said, well, you need to take a cab back home. So I watched him as he left. And then the next day he blew the phone up again. And then it was to the point where my friend's husband got on my phone and was like, she's not interested. And then he threatened to blow up the house. So, yeah, he threatened to blow up my house. And then he told me, if you're not interested, maybe he said, if you're not interested, does your mom look like you? Maybe she'll be interested in me. That's when I knew he was crazy. So needless to say, because he threatened to blow up the house and my friend's husband heard him say that, he was like, you need to call the police because I have children that live here and I don't take threats, you know, easily. So I had to call the police, file a report. Then I had to go to my job and tell them, and I had seniority because I had worked at that job for like 3 years at that time. And so they were like, we'll make sure he doesn't work the same shift as you. So they kind of, like, rearranged his thing because, you know, they everyone at the job loved me. So they were like, you know, you sound a little bit crazy, and then put him on another shift, and he wound up getting fired eventually. But, yeah, he started stalking me after a while. So I had to, yeah. So that's definitely a horror story. And that was somebody that I felt comfortable enough with at least knowing where I lived, because I'm like, oh, we all work together. Like, it'll be fine. Never again.
You know, girl, I don't know that you've ever had my mouth open like this, like in that many shows. Like, you can't make this shit up.
No. Threatened to blow up the house. I was like, oh, my Lord.
Honey, got to be more careful, like literally.
Imagine if I would have been intimate with this guy.
Facts. Honey, yeah, if he would have got some of that punani, it would have been over with.
Thank you. Listen. The house might have been doing
it. Ooh, yeah, it would have been like, wow. Listen,
and then
on that
I had
note,
to think of something has to be wrong with him. Because I'm like, you are fine.
No.
So there's no reason why you should be that crazy.
Hunty. Listen, see, tonight we talked about dating horror stories. Some of those were our own personal stories. Some of those are stories of people that we know or know of, and some of them were just through research and stories I found that was interesting. But at the end of the day, a horror story is never a good thing. You know, we can laugh about it later, but it's still something that you went through in life. So we just want everyone to be careful. This is Tawanda and Corinne with Clutch, and we're looking forward to hanging out with you guys for another great show in the near future. Until then,
bye.
Corinne.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.